Like any great philosophical, scientific, or spiritual tradition, theosophy must be studied deeply and at length to obtain a proper foothold. And like many such fields of knowledge, the further one goes, the more apparent it becomes how little one knows. At the same time, it is said that the oceanic teaching at its near shore will not overwhelm the understanding of a child, for it is knowledge ever present both in the book of nature and in the imperishable center of the human heart. H.P. Blavatsky called it, quote, the universal panacea for all the ills of mankind. This is perhaps why even great initiates never tire of re-articulating its core principles. To begin with, the word theosophy is derived from the Greek theosophia, theo meaning God, and sophia meaning wisdom or knowledge. Theosophy, simply stated, means divine wisdom or the wisdom of the gods. The word comes to us from the 3rd century Alexandrian philosophers who also called themselves Philalethians, meaning lovers of truth. But the truths they studied and taught are said to be as old as humanity itself. In fact, their equivalent can be found in the writings of countless prophets, mystics, sages, and poets in every culture, ancient or modern, wherever true wisdom has blossomed. This is one reason why theosophy is also sometimes referred to as the Philosophia Perennis, for the same perennial teaching revealed in the mystery schools of classical Greece is said to have instructed the legendary rishis of ancient India who composed the Vedas and Upanishads, the king initiates of ancient Egypt, Moses, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Pythagoras, and Jesus, as well as Buddha, Shankaracharya, and many others. What is currently known to us regarding many of these traditions and teachers is largely incomplete, as the deeper teaching was only given orally to those who had bound themselves by vows of silence. Theosophy is often classed as a religion, but it is not, nor is it a faith or a dogma. Instead, it is meant to be an end to dogmatism and divisiveness. This is because it offers a sovereign means of reconciling all religions, sects, and nations through the revival of those archetypal principles and hidden truths of nature that are their common and often forgotten basis. And although theosophy teaches that all religions have a common source and common fundamentals at their root, so do all religions in their exoteric form of dogma, ritual, and priestcraft tend to distort, misinterpret, or even invert to one degree or another the underlying ideas. To this day, we find distorted creeds actively feeding distrust, oppression, and hatred towards others of differing views, even leading to violence, terrorism, and war. Materialistic science also has its own self-limiting boundaries. For example, although the understanding of what constitutes matter is being radically challenged with quantum physics, many physicists are still unwilling to even consider the logic and the evidence pointing to the non-biological origins of human consciousness and its survival or continuation beyond the death of the physical body. To nourish and encourage the freedom of human thought, the modern theosophical movement aims to make widely available to the public the rudiments of the science of spirituality, which has been kept esoteric or hidden for centuries. This is needed, we are told, to keep alive humanity's divine intuitions, soul memories, and higher aspirations. First and foremost, theosophy affirms that unity is a fact in nature, which binds not only all of humanity, but all beings of whatever kind and all things in the entire universe into one grand whole. Theosophy in this sense is the essence of true religion, as the Latin word religare, that which binds together, suggests. This is one reason why Theosophy is sometimes called the wisdom religion, whose soul is found in the highest ethical ideals known to humanity, guided by the ancient wisdom and the progressive awakening of individual conscience. The alchemical ethics embraced by Theosophy make possible the transformation of base metal into gold. All the great spiritual traditions are shorn of their overgrown dogmas and found to be unified in essence. All the afflictive emotions, animal-like passions, and poisonous greed of the fearful and separative personality can be progressively overcome and transmuted into a meaningful life of joy, peace, and service. Even at the outset, the study involves the blending of head and heart through the purification of motive, the conscious and authentic cultivation of altruism and theophilanthropy, the identity with and empathy for the needs of others. As the ancient axiom reads, quote, "To live to benefit mankind is the first step. To practice the six glorious virtues is the second," unquote. But purity of intent will go astray unless guided by a wise and penetrating knowledge. Consciousness is elevated through right philosophy and harmonized through the contemplation of and attunement to universal truths and laws. When properly undertaken, this divine discipline leads to the awakening of the highest forms of intuitive perception and direct cognition of core essences and foundational realities. This fusion of knowledge and virtue, of metaphysics and ethics, is found not only in Pythagorean and Platonic teachings and in the Gnostic traditions from which the esotericism of the Gospels emerged. It can also be found mirrored in many works of Eastern philosophy, as in the injunctions of Krishna to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, as in the unbounded compassion and sacrificial wisdom portrayed in the Bodhisattva ideal of Northern Buddhism. The centrality and universality of these magnificent ideals were on the verge of being forgotten or obscured in the West until the translation of ancient sacred texts of the East began to become more widely available in the 19th century, in part due to the Theosophical movement. Imminent amongst such works are the mystic and poetic fragments found in a small book called The Voice of the Silence. Said to be long chanted in the hidden sanctuaries of the East, this short golden treatise on the Bodhisattva path was translated for the first time into English in 1889 by H.P. Blavatsky and offered for the daily use of all disciples aspiring to this timeless wisdom. The metaphysics of Theosophy differ significantly from conventional metaphysics as normally understood. It is not a speculative system arrived at through imagination and reason, nor is it the fanciful product of one or even several isolated individuals. Instead, Blavatsky wrote, it is derived from an uninterrupted record covering thousands of generations of seers, whose respective experiences were made to test and to verify the visions of other adepts. Such seers are those belonging to a vast unbroken lineage of enlightened exemplars present even at the birth of the human race. Known by many names in different traditions, these Jivanmuktas, Bodhisattvas, or Masters of Wisdom, all constitute a single brotherhood. Their capacities for vision and insight are perfected to such an extent that they are no longer hindered by the common barriers of time and space. This inner sight allows them to penetrate all the veils of nature in order to look directly into the soul of things. And it is this mighty brotherhood of adepts who have both embodied and preserved the sacred wisdom of Brahmavak throughout long ages in order to assist in the ethical evolution, the mental awakening, and spiritual progress of the whole of humanity. At the same time, Theosophy affirms that no sage and no language, however great, can fully convey the reality of spiritual essences and laws. Truth lies beyond any statement of truth. The finger pointing to the moon is not the moon, nor is intellectual comprehension sufficient. All truths must be tested and verified by each individual within the alembic of consciousness and daily life. Nonetheless, the inspirational words and phrases chosen by adepts and sages are widely recognized as providing invaluable guidance. There are three fundamentals upon which the entire philosophy is based. These three propositions are succinctly given in the Proem of the Secret Doctrine, written by H.P. Blavatsky under the guidance of masters such as we have just described. They provide a framework for all that follows in the philosophy, and within which all of life's experiences and perplexing problems may begin to be properly understood. The first fundamental proposition states that there is one eternal and undifferentiated reality, which both utterly transcends and pervades an endless series of universes. It is nameless, but has been called by many names. In Genesis, it is, quote, the darkness on the face of the deep, unquote. In the Kabbalah, it is Ein Sof, meaning no thing, while in the Upanishads, it is called Brahman or Parabrahm. Buddhism refers to it as shunyata, emptiness. Beyond both being and non-being, in the Secret Doctrine, it is also referred to as beingness and connected with a triad of concepts: boundless abstract space, ceaseless abstract motion, and eternal duration, transcending past, present, and future. Quote, it alone is, whether there is a universe or not, unquote. As in the philosophy of Advaita Vedanta, this impersonal absolute is also the essence of the self of all beings, called Atman. Each human being is a microcosm, mirroring the macrocosm in all its aspects. According to this non-dual conception, Atman and Brahman are one, and the knowledge of this unity, called Brahmavidya or Atmavidya, confers release from an otherwise interminable series of unconscious rebirths. Within this all-embracing, transcendent, unchanging reality, both inconceivable void and inexhaustible plenum, universes periodically arise. Each universe is a spiraling process of involution and evolution, a flowering from the noumenal to the phenomenal and back again, each time evoluting on a higher plane. Each cosmos unfolds from an unmanifest spiritual unity through a differentiated substratum via conscious descent, referred to in the Bhagavad Gita as Adiyajna, or the great sacrifice. Analogous to the differentiation of white light as it passes through a prism, the universal soul differentiates into seven primary centers, known in Tibetan traditions as Dhyani Buddhas, reflecting the ideation of the universal mind, called Mahat or Mahabuddhi. These seven are said to progressively manifest or emanate into what becomes a complex, interwoven, and interdependent fabric chain of living beings. The one life becomes what appears to finite consciousness as many lives. Not only is each universe and all sentient life a temporary and periodical law-governed event, as the second fundamental teaches, But everything that occurs within that circle is ruled by the same cyclic law of ebb and flow, of day and night, of waking and sleeping, as well as of cause and effect. The smallest cyclic process mirrors the largest in archetypal stages. All arises from what went before, and all that will come is due to past actions, in addition to those now taking place. This aspect of the second fundamental is known as karma, a term now widely familiar to Western culture, but whose deeper moral import and universal aspects are largely unguessed. Karma is also called the doctrine of hope. By presenting to us the exact and unerring outcome of past action, the law provides the opportunity for human beings to progressively undo the errors of the past and to build upon the good. In theosophical philosophy, many of the diverse applications of karma to the human plane are revealed in relation to its twin doctrine, that of reincarnation. This brings us to the third fundamental of theosophy, which may be encapsulated in the idea of each human soul as a spiritual emanation of what Emerson called the Oversoul and Jesus called the Father in Heaven. Each is an immortal constituent ray of one of the seven dhyanis, engaged in a process of self-conscious evolution on its return path from the many back to the one. There is design in the action of the seemingly blindest forces. All the kingdoms of nature below the human are slowly evolving toward it, and all the kingdoms above the human have arisen out of it. The awakening of the individuated soul, of self-conscious intelligence, marks the pivotal transition from the instinctual animal to the human condition. By this means only, in this philosophy, each ray becomes capable of both Promethean and Epimethean insight, of deductive and inductive reasoning, of individual responsibility, choice, self-direction, and self-correction, and ultimately of the highest form of spiritual enlightenment that is possible in this cycle. By this means only is the upward arc of evolution embarked upon and achieved. Caged by its own shadowy misconceptions and sense of isolation, the human mind is shackled to error and suffering. But in its purified and awakened condition, the mind begins to tap a boundless reservoir of unguessed potentiality. The individuated mind is inherently capable of reuniting with cosmic mind and will. By acting in consort with the largest purposes of collective life, it becomes a ceaseless creative generator through which the sublime symphonic harmonies of our collective future are unfolded. To fully actuate this divine potentiality in thought, word, and deed on behalf of all beings necessarily requires a vast series of obligatory reincarnations in perishable earthly vehicles, so that all the lessons of life may be mastered on every plane of existence. In the Socratic allegory of the cave, the freed individual fulfills their station not only by achieving a luminous realization of true knowledge, peace, and freedom from all personal suffering. Out of solidarity and harmony with the whole of nature, such a person also willingly returns to the cave as a guardian in order to teach, aid, and show others the way. What is possible for one human being is possible for all. In part, this is why it is said that the widespread knowledge of theosophy and the application of its principles by individuals and groups committed to the collective effort will help to hasten the day when adepts can walk freely without being hunted as devils by some or worshipped as gods by others. This in turn will make possible the widespread initiation of the human race into the deeper hidden truths of nature, eventually giving rise to the golden age civilizations of the future. Such a day will dawn only in natural concord with all the kingdoms of nature, with universal welfare, and the progressive enlightenment of all those who have self-consciously inserted themselves into the golden currents of sacrificial wisdom that is Brahmavak.